Jackson trying to escape and run for it, and he's got it more. Lamar Jackson down the sideline. Will they give it to him? They will. Touchdown, Baltimore.
And with 1:17 left to play on Wild Card Weekend, the Hayes in the Barn.
Oh my God! I wish you guys could. I wish we had a camera in here so you could see what we're doing. We're just a bunch of clowns in here.
How much fun is that?
All right, welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast. It is Sunday night, November 29th. Or I suppose it will be Sunday night, November 28th. But not even that. It's actually Monday morning, November 29th, 12:43 in the AM as I record this here. My name is Jake Luke. You are listening to the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast. It is this early in the morning as I record because we have gotten done with a primetime game, yet another one, I believe the fourth or fifth, maybe even sixth. I don't think the sixth, but definitely up there as far as Ravens games go. Right around that number amount of primetime games the Ravens have had thus far. It's fun. It's a little tiring at times, and it certainly is feeling tiring tonight because we had to sit through kind of a long one. There were a lot of injuries out there on the field between the Ravens and the Browns. There was a lot of penalties, a lot going down that made this a relatively long slog of a game, 16-10, that the Ravens end up triumphing over the Browns in Baltimore. It's hard to walk away from this one if you're a Ravens fan feeling super confident about what we saw ultimately, because the offense really just couldn't put much together outside of a couple of big plays that they made through the air, one of which was a pass interference to Mark Andrews, the other of which was a touchdown to Mark Andrews. They did some nice things on the ground with mainly Lamar Jackson and Devontae Freeman. I think this was yet another game, and as I pull up the rushing stats here, I can confirm this is another game that Lamar Jackson led the way on the ground for the Ravens with 68 yards rushing on 17 carries. You had Devontae Freeman somewhat close behind him with 16 carries for 52 yards, neither of whom had a touchdown. Latavius Murray, 8 for 14. Devin Duvernay, 1 for 13. And Tyson Williams actually getting a touch for 1 yard. But not a whole lot going on the ground tonight, and obviously not a whole lot that happened through the air either. If you watched it, you can tell that this was a relatively pedestrian night offensively for the Ravens. But like I said, Mark Andrews got it done, 4 for 65, 16.2 yards average through the air, and that touchdown catch. Marquise Brown quietly had a really nice game, 8 for 51, and Rashad Bateman quietly put a nice one together as well with 4 for 31. Other guys kind of quietly getting into the mix. And then on the defensive side of the ball, looking at the stats, Tyus Bowser had a really nice one. I was actually there in the stadium, as Spencer was as well. He's not going to be on this one. I kind of decided that I was just going to jump in here and rip through this one solo and just get you guys a quick recap of this game. There's probably not going to be a ton to say on it this late into the night, and we'll probably have some more analysis for you as we move forward. But yeah, just getting back into it, like being in the stadium, you could tell that Tyus Bowser was playing really well. That manifested itself with another sack. I think that's his second in as many weeks. He's leading the team with about five, maybe five and a half, something like that. And Odafe Oye, who's also up there with him, had another sack as well. So they had the two sacks on the night, and they were kind of leading the way on the defense, but I think ultimately that is sort of what you're looking at. The two storylines that you walk away from this one is what the hell happened with Lamar Jackson and the four interceptions that he threw, and in turn, the performance of the defense put on to keep the team not only alive in this one, but thriving. And ultimately, that's what it came down to, is the Ravens were driving. They had a chance to put this thing away with the 2 minutes ticking down. The Browns had already used the timeout in that half, in the early in the half. So Ravens are driving. It looks like they're going to have a chance to put it away. You get Ben Powers called on a pretty ticky-tack hold that was quite obvious in the stadium. I'm sure it was relatively obvious on the telecast. You guys can correct me in the comments. We got some people rolling in here. But yeah, they had a chance to do that. They ultimately couldn't. Justin Tucker goes out there for, I think, a 49-yarder. Never in doubt. I for some reason, I always convince myself that like maybe there's a chance that he's going to miss one of these things, and he just continuously finds a way to boot them through in crucial situations like that. So he does that, kicks it away 16-10 with just a little over 60 seconds to go, I think, and the Browns just go four plays and out. A really nice job by the defense to stop them there. I think Njoku had a quick little catch and attempt to run for the first down, but he got tackled, and ultimately that is what put it away. But yeah, a tough performance by the offense tonight. I think worse than the turnovers, I think what the issue was a lack of ability to move the ball outside of a few shot plays here and there. I can deal with turnovers. I can deal with volatility when it is counterbalanced by playmaking, particularly playmaking through the air, explosive plays. Especially that's kind of what we've seen this year. There hasn't been a ton of big plays on the ground. Their ground game has been a lot more chunk and run, that kind of stuff. But you didn't have a ton of the big plays through the air, and you had some of the issues with the interceptions. But I think that what's interesting about the interceptions, and maybe I will try to pull up the play-by-play here as I filibuster great radio, trying to pull up the play-by-play. But the interceptions are weird because you have, I believe one of them happened early in the game, but then it was kind of a weird sequence right before the half where I don't know if they were all within the side, or both of them were inside of 2 minutes or whatever it was, but it felt like Lamar kind of threw two of them back to back. Yeah, here we go. I can't totally find the play-by-play quite yet, but you guys can correct me if I'm wrong as you're rolling into the comments here, like I said, but felt like they kind of occurred within succession of each other, and it was just kind of like this weird, weird kind of ticky-tack sequence, and that you kind of assume going into the second half that he's going to end the game as far as his turnovers go there, and it's just going to be, I say just three interceptions, but you know, a couple fluky interceptions, you leave it at that. But later in the game, he tries to make a play. He tries to, like I said, get Andrews involved, and he's actually got him open. He's got Andrews running to the flag, basically, and just underthrows him. And I think it was Ronnie Harrison, maybe, skies up over Andrews to get in front of him, and he had the inside leverage on the ball and pulls away the interception. So another kind of weird interception that kept the Browns in the game. But you know, I talk about volatility, and I talk about being able to deal with turnovers if there is playmaking on the other side of the ball. And basically what that comes down to is, are you moving the ball as an offense? And weirdly for the Ravens, like, it wasn't either of those things tonight, but I'm confident that they're going to be fine moving forward. And what I would be more pissed off about if I were a Browns fan is you got neither of those things tonight, save for a touchdown from David Njoku, which could kindly be described as a pretty ticky-tack kind of call. It looked like it might have bounced off the ground. Had some turf coming up on that alleged touchdown catch by Njoku there, but the Browns just could not get anything going, and Baker Mayfield just looked rough. He looked like he was out there playing hurt. He looked like a guy who was just going to be limited in what he was doing, and their ground game, they could get absolutely nothing going. I think the box score is pretty rough. Yeah, you got Kareem Hunt leading the way with 20 yards on the ground, 2.9 yards per carry with 7, and then Nick Chubb had 8 for 16, which is rough. I mean, this ground game, you talk about Kareem Hunt coming back, you talk about Jack Conklin coming back, and the fact that Calais Campbell didn't play. I was talking to Spencer, actually, before the game, and he was very concerned about Calais Campbell not playing against what they like to do with this ground game. And I think maybe in Campbell's absence, that spurred the defense on to key in on the run game even more and stop those guys. And maybe that kind of is all you need to do to be able to stop a Browns offense that is limited with what they can do with Baker Mayfield's health situation right now. So in as much as the Ravens were volatile tonight on offense, and they turned the ball over and that was frustrating, the Browns simply could do nothing on offense outside of that one touchdown to Njoku, and some nice plays by Jarvis Landry through the air, too. We don't want to totally discredit him. He had a nice game, but other than that, it was kind of a tough watch. But do want to jump into some of these comments here. So we got Davon checking in with the first couple. Love the jacket, bro. Thank you. Yeah, this is a little bit of a throwback that my dad gifted me. So appreciate that, brother. As I go for a quick beer sip there. As we predicted, my heart is fine, LOL, Davon says. If your heart's fine, I get that. Weirdly, like, this is one where I feel like my heart would be struggling a little bit, but I just, honestly, I didn't feel much one way or the other of this one. This kind of, to me, had the feeling of, and I remember thinking this all day, like, this just kind of felt like a workman-like, show up, put your hard hat on, get a difficult win over a divisional opponent. And that's what we got. And frankly, it was a boring, frustrating at times watch. And I just didn't feel much. And so like my heart rate wasn't really doing much. It was more just like kind of some frustration, kind of some like, all right, let's just get this thing done. But man, it was, there were a lot of injuries on the field. There were a lot of penalties. There was a lot going on, and this was a long game. It was a long watch, and there just wasn't a lot of heart rate. It was more just a simmering frustration of, like, let's just get this thing done. Let's get this win and get the hell out of here. And it took a while, but they did. Marco Silver says, I'm not really worried about the offense. I'm more so impressed with how the defense played. We held them to 40 yards rushing. That cannot be understated how well the defense played. Especially against this rushing attack, like we were just saying there, with Conklin coming back, with what they can already do on that offensive line, with Kevin Stefanski and his ability to scheme the run game up, and with the talent that they have in the receiving game, you would think they would have their hands full. But it kind of reminds me of the Tennessee playoff game in Tennessee last year, where you shut down Derrick Henry, you really key on him, and that sort of unlocks what else you can do on defense against the talented passing offense, where you have a big play through the air with A.J. Brown scoring the touchdown. But other than that, they don't do much in that game offensively. It kind of reminded me of that, where you have one big play to David Njoku, a couple, you know, nice plays here and there to Jarvis Landry. But other than that, you're not doing much as an offense. So, yeah, the defense was really impressive. And they're the story of this game. It's interesting. Adam Jones, our boy. What's up, Jake? I don't know what the hell that game was, but it's a win, and we're number one in the AFC right now, so whatever. Yeah, I haven't touched on that. So 8-3, number one in the AFC, and there's a lot of blubbering and blabbering and bullshit on Twitter from fans of other teams that are jumping into comment sections of tweets that talk about how the Ravens are the number one seed, that complain about, oh, they're, you know, clearly not as good as the Patriots. They're not as good as the Chiefs, X, Y, and Z. Well, you know what? Maybe you're right, but they're there. They're 8-3. It is what it is. And I actually had a little fun tweeting out a clip from Brian Billick, which, let me see if I can pull it up here for the benefit of the podcast listeners. And here's what Brian Billick has to say about all of that.
Yeah, pundits and the experts are going to pick this apart and talk to me about some kiss-ass third down percentage or red zone. Hey, come on.
Yeah, so that's kind of my my thoughts on that. You're going to talk to me about the performance and the way they played tonight against Cleveland, and oh, how is this going to work against the Patriots? How is this going to work against the Chiefs and X, Y, and Z? Well, like, we've been saying this after the three Ravens losses. We've said this about the Ravens and after some of the Ravens wins. This is as week-to-week as the NFL has been in a very long time, as week-to-week as the AFC has been in particular in a very long time. They're 8-3. It is what it is. They are the number one seed right now. Maybe it'll last. Maybe it won't. But kind of, you can miss me with the college footballification of, oh, quality wins and X, Y, and Z. It's in the NFL, wins are not easy to come by. Cody says 8-3. Kyle says, oh, hi. Hello, Kyle. Adam, also, stop reading if you didn't watch last week's episode of Succession. How great was that line that Tom said to Kendall at the end of the episode? Very good, very good. Matthew McFadden, who plays Tom, going for that Emmy. I would hope that he wins it. I'm not super up on like probably some of the Emmy contending TV shows, but he's probably my pick for best supporting actor for the Emmy. If that even is what they give out for Emmys, I'm not totally sure how that's going to work, but Matthew McFadden absolutely killing it, and I'm excited to dive into some Succession. I am absolutely dead tired, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch it tonight, but excited to dive into that. Abby says PQ, he was a beast. Yeah, Patrick Queen, really good game. Nice job by him. Particularly doing what he's done at his best, like in like specific moments where it was needed in this game to bring a spark to the defense. And like what I mean by that is you have Josh Bynes kind of playing his role, and Bynes actually came out at certain points in the game. And Christian Welch, I think, was subbing in, but just Queen shooting the gap, making big plays, being the explosive kind of spark plug that they needed on defense. He really turned into the version of him, or has turned into the version of him that they needed and were expecting in the last couple of weeks. And I think much of that is owed to the fact that he's not being relied upon as much, but it's been a welcome addition to this defense, and probably was a big part of them being able to perform the way they did tonight. Deuce, 1042. Lamar threw two egregious ones. John Johnson made a great play on one, and the other was off Bateman's hands, and I think he was throwing to Mark. Yeah, okay, so that makes sense. So if you're going to throw four, like, chances are you're probably talking about, you know, maybe two or three that are egregious, and then sometimes defenses are going to get lucky. And I did, you know, I didn't know off the top of my head, but I did remember being in the stadium that there were a couple that were a little questionable. It's like, yeah, okay, whatever. So sounds like two egregious ones, two that are kind of whatever. But can we talk about the fact that, and we don't talk about this enough as a society, as the fact that one of the best safeties in the league's name is John Johnson. It'd be like if my name were Jacob Jacobson. It's pretty cool. I just feel like we don't collectively as a society discuss that there is a John Johnson who is exceptional at his job. BS touchdown should be 16-3, but yeah, sure, for sure. Jordan, looking handsome this evening, Jake. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. It's been a long day, so to hear that I'm looking potentially my best, that's all I can ask for. Randall Flagg. The entire AFC is mediocre this year. I really wish this team could just step it up a little bit. Bowser played great tonight, though. Yeah, I think the weird thing is like they've had games where one side plays great and the other one doesn't, and then vice versa. So I think what you're kind of talking about is having a game where you just have both sides firing on all cylinders for four quarters. You had that versus the Chargers. Really haven't had that otherwise. I totally get the frustration. I just don't see it happening, you know, at any point this year. I just don't think they're talented enough in certain spots. Particularly the offensive line is the rough patch for the offense. And then for the defense, it's tough with Deshaun Elliott coming out. And then the fact that I feel like they're just not set up to rush the passer. Like, and part of this goes into the discussion of like pass rushers leaving and having good sack production with other teams. I just feel like that's kind of not part of their game. So it's tough, and it feels like it's going to be tough for them to string together consistent wall-to-wall performances. But they haven't really needed it to win games, to be fair. So who knows? Jordan says, LOL, I was calm. They've played this game like 10 times in my life already for division rival on SNF. I've seen some shit already. Yeah, dude, this is a good point. You know what this reminded me of? And like speaking of Browns games, this reminded me of 2012. I don't know why I remember this game, but like Brandon Whedon, it might have been one of his first starts. And it's like Brandon Whedon shouldn't be like playing well against a 2012 Ravens defense, or maybe it was, yeah, it had to have been 2012 because he was a rookie. So It's like he shouldn't have been playing a close game there, but I think he like threw a pick in the end zone or something on like a last drive that could have won them that game. And it was like, yeah, well, it's like they probably shouldn't be playing that close to a rookie quarterback on the Browns, who were abysmal at the time, but that team went on to win a Super Bowl. So, you know, it's a division rival. You're going to have some tough games. And, you know, sometimes you have a couple weird plays with the interceptions that Lamar threw. They were tough. They're inexcusable. He said as much. He said, quote unquote, "I'm hot," I think, Lamar, in his post-game comments about the interceptions. So, yeah, it is what it is. He's got to clean it up. I think he understands that he has to clean it up. And you know what? It's not going to get any easier against the Steelers in Pittsburgh next week, who I don't know what they're really going to have to play for. I think the Steelers are 5-5-1 now, having just dropped a mammoth of a loss to the Bengals in Cincy today. I think the final score netted out to like 41-3 or something like that. Could be a little bit off on that, but something to that effect. Big Ben looked awful. I'm interested to see what that game is going to look like next week with a pissed off Ravens team and with a Steelers team that has to feel somewhat demoralized. But hey, it's going to be in Pittsburgh. It's another division game, to Jordan's point. They're always going to be tough. So we're going to see what happens. Cody, impressive to hold Chubb and Hunt to that low of a total without Campbell and McPhee. Yeah, 100%. 100%. Like, that's, I think, really what the difference was. The fact that the Browns could not get that run game going, could not do what Stefanski likes to do and scheme that passing game open with what they do with the run. That had to prove to be the difference. And you got to give a credit to the coaching staff for being able to coach these guys up and do what they need to do in the absence of somebody like Campbell, who is effectively a coach on the field and a great talent in his own right. So big shout out to all the guys that were able to get it done in that respect. Brandon Williams actually had a really big game coming back into the lineup and performing really well. He's taken a lot of grief on these airwaves from us, from Voss, from a lot of different people. Shout out to Brandon Williams for coming back to the lineup and playing well tonight. Adam Fisher, sup Jake? For the life of me, I can't figure out the play calling on first down. Seems like everybody in the house knows what the first down play call is going to be. Yeah, man, I think it was getting frustrating after a while because it felt like there were a lot of just first down runs up the gut and they were just going for like 1 yard. It reminds me a lot, and I think we've seen that at times in other games this year, where it reminds me of the Mark Ingram. It's like Mark Ingram in 2020, hand off to him for gain of one or a loss of one. And it's just like you're setting yourself up so poorly for second and third down, where it's very different to what you had. And I, you know, you should never compare any team to 2019, but it's very different to 2019, where you had like second and fives and then third and threes, and you just convert them very easily. It feels like maybe a little bit of a better plan on first down would be good, but I think part of it does go back to a lack of talent on the offensive line, which unfortunately isn't getting fixed anytime soon. So, you know, maybe they could serve to pass more on first down. I don't have the numerical breakdowns on that right now. I'm sure we could get more into that at a different date. But yeah, the first down play calling was weird, I thought. Chris Perkins, which coordinator gets the blame from the flock this week? It's going to be Greg Roman. I'm just telling you that right now. Even though he did not throw four interceptions. And you know what? I'm not going to blame Lamar Jackson either. Like, he had a tough game. It's whatever. They got a W. Let's not freak out. Let's not blame anyone for a win. Let's not place blame in a win. That is hopefully my pearl of wisdom that'll stick with you guys tonight. Cameron Hill says, interesting one here. The position change has earned PQ another contract. So this is I get what you're saying, but he's in his second year and he's going to have a fifth year option. So we are so far away from talking about his contract. Let's just have him keep stringing together good weeks of play here. Let's just be solid for another couple weeks and then a few weeks after that and then a few weeks after that. And, you know, see where that takes us into next season. Let's not go too crazy with the Queen talk. I'm very pleased with how he's playing. I've been one of his defenders all season. Let's just not try to be too reactionary with Patrick Queen one way or the other. Deuce 1042. Cleveland's defense balled out. They got studs everywhere on that side of the ball. Yeah, they really do, man. They Myles Garrett made some plays. Clowney was playing well too. Funny shot, actually, of Clowney when Lamar threw his touchdown pass to Mark Andrews, where he was running away from, I think, Garrett, and Clowney might have been in on the play too, but Lamar's basically running backwards, and he's they're in the red zone. He basically runs all the way back to like the 30, 35, stops on a dime, sets his feet, and just throws to Mark Andrews wide open in the middle of the end zone, and then you get the great reaction shot of Jadeveon Clowney ripping his helmet off and like throwing it on the ground in the frustration, and then Myles Garrett walking off the field and just kind of like, he's got a little smirk on his face and just shakes his head and just kind of like a little tip of the cap moment there. I thought that was a really good job by NBC to grab those shots. I think that was good to see. But they do have studs. That was a little bit of an off-track way of saying that. Those two guys are sick. They do have other guys on the defensive line as well. They got Owusu-Koramoah, who everyone talks about. They got good players at corner. I mean, they got Ward and Greedy Williams, and then Grant Delpit was actually getting in the mix tonight a little bit at safety, and Ronnie Harrison is good as well. So, yeah, man, they have players up and down that defense, and they balled out tonight. Got to give them their flowers, but unfortunately not enough for them. Not Nerdy Elt Neb. Realistically, what's this team's ceiling? I don't know if I see them as a Super Bowl team, but it's hard to like, it's just hard to count them out because I just feel like more so than any other year, it feels like any team or any game can just be bent to the will of what they're going to turn it into, which is, you know, maybe it's a rock fight, maybe it's a shootout, maybe it's X, Y, or Z. It just feels like a little bit of a flubber type season as far as they go. And they've done that to all these different teams, including the class of the AFC, where they beat the Chiefs in the shootout. They, bend the Chargers over their knee and spank the Chargers. And, you know, they're doing certain things to a Browns team that, not really do certain things. They pretty much knocked the Browns out of contention tonight, which is unfortunate for them. But, I don't know. I just feel like they have the ability to hang with any AFC team. And if you can do that and if you can get into the Super Bowl, then that's kind of anyone's game. But I don't know. I don't necessarily see them as a Super Bowl team, but I'm also not going to completely count them out of that. Cameron Hill. The young guns are coming on strong second half. PQ, Bowser, Bateman, and Away. Yeah, that's a good call. It's really good to see Queen playing well. And then Bateman and Away, you're talking about, these are two of the best first-round picks that the Ravens have had in a long time, and they came in the same year. And that's very big. Like, thinking back on first-round picks the last couple of years, Queen has been better than people talk about, but he's certainly been up and down. Hollywood, he's playing really well this year. He was a little rocky at times, too. 2018, obviously. Jackson, Hayden Hurst, not necessarily a great first-round pick in Hayden Hurst, but, you know, obviously Lamar is probably your best first-round pick of that decade. But, I mean, this is a huge draft class just based on those two guys alone. And then, Queen playing well. Cherry on top right there for sure. Not Nerdy. I could see Owe winning Defensive Rookie of the Year. If he keeps up this production, he's well on his way. I'm going to have to disagree with you and point you in the direction of one Micah Parsons in Dallas, who basically already has the award locked up. I think he's got like, probably, he's an inside linebacker, and he has a couple more sacks than Owe because he's been like moonlighting as a pass rushing outside linebacker, and he broke like DeMarcus Ware's like rookie sack record there for the Cowboys. So it's going to be Parsons this year, but Owe is certainly extremely nice. Mark, am I crazy for thinking the offense played well if you remove the strange turnovers? I thought the blocking looked a lot cleaner, but I might have just been pessimistic from the last two games. Played well is probably a stretch because like you ultimately like, it does ultimately come down to bottom line, and they scored, you know, 16 points, and that's not going to be good enough. But yeah, I mean, like I get what you're saying, where if you remove even like two of those picks, it probably doesn't look nearly as bad. And like, you know, two of them probably were a little bit fluky, just looking at the math of it. But yeah, it's interesting. Parsons, the front runner. Bateman and Owe were both disliked by the BB community. Glad to see both proving the doubters wrong. So when you say BB community, I'm not sure if you mean Spencer and I, or like our writers or anything like that. We both certainly, I think we had our Owe concerns, but we were Bateman guys like all the way through. So maybe you're talking about the comments section. I don't know, man. I think the consensus has kind of been there on Bateman like from day one for like most sensible people. And I think that's proving itself to be correct. And then Owe is proving a lot of the doubters, myself to an extent included, wrong. He's looking really, really, really good at pass rusher. So excited for both of those guys. And yeah, man, it was ultimately, okay, a lot of the commenters, he says. Okay, that's fair. That's fair. But yeah, 16-10. Weird game. Weird game. I'm not going to lie and say that, like, you know, I walked out of the game super excited and jazzed up about what I just saw. Like, there were people, like, getting chants going and stuff as we were walking out of the stadium. And, like, I respect that, but I couldn't summon that. You know, I couldn't, like, fake the confidence. I couldn't, like, fake that feeling because I certainly felt that jazz and I felt that juice walking out of the Chiefs game, the Colts game, and some of these other real big wins, as I like to say, walking out of that stadium this year. This didn't quite feel like that, but you know what? They strapped the hard hat on. They brought their lunch pail to work, and they won 16-10 on their way to 8-3 and the top of the American Football Conference. So that's that. It is 1:13 a.m. here in Baltimore County. I've been going for about a half an hour here. Shout out to all you guys for hopping into the chat. Shout out to Spenny for handling the preview duty this week with Brad Ward. That was a nice preview episode that I hope you guys enjoyed in the run-up to this game. And I hope you enjoyed your holidays as well. We certainly enjoyed ours. That was kind of why the scheduling was a little bit strange this week, but we will be back on track this week for the Pittsburgh game. Appreciate everyone tuning in tonight to the live show. Appreciate you tuning in to the podcast on Monday morning to this sort of instant analysis thing that we like to do even after primetime games that can be tiring at times. But until later on in the week, I will talk to you then. And hope you guys have a great week at work, school, whatever it is, and we will talk to you again later on. Arrivederci.
Gourlami. Gourlami. Arrivederci.
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 Arrivederci. Arrivederci.